The warriors then turned on their heels to walk away in the lead of the assembled pack of villagers, who lifted Mildred and carried her off down another alleyway and out of sight. JB watched through the barred window.
Shit. Where are they taking her?
I don't know, JB, but one thing seems certain. At least she'll be safe.
I hope so. They seem to have a problem with our skin color.
But what they think of Mildred being with us?
But what I don't get is what they have against us.
We're not the same as them. Every one of them we've seen so far has been black. Odds are that everyone else in the villa is as well.
How do you know?
Well, think about it. When was the last time you saw a sec patrol that was all the same? Wherever I've been, I'm damn sure I've worked beside black, brown, yellow, all kinds of skin.
I don't know. What about when we were on that oil well? They kept apart then.
True enough, but they'd still work together and knew there were other colors, remnants of pre-dark races. And there's still shit about one being better than another, but this is different. Can't explain how. Just a feeling I got off the big man.
You're full of shit, Ryan. There are so many times when Mildred's the only black person around. You don't notice, but she does. And me too. Pre-dark races? For fuck's sake, sometimes I just wish you'd shut the fuck up.
JB stormed off by the latrine.
What was that about?
There will always be pernicious and specious ideas about skin pigmentation. It is human nature to seek out superficial reasons to pass judgment on others.
Huh. Say again?
People hating you just because you're black or white or an albino. Like the chief or whatever was feeding you back when they captured us.
That's an interesting point.
Christy walked over to the barred window and looked through, mindful of the fact that the guards were close. She didn't speak again until she had moved away from the window.
When I was a little girl back in Harmony, there were stories. I figured they were old myths to warn us about the persecution we'd encounter for being muti in some way. But one of them was about a place called the Carolinas and an island there. Years before Skydark, they used to bring black people across the seas just to use as slaves. Only some of them didn't take too well to this, and they managed to escape. There was an island in the Carolinas where they settled. A whole community of none but black people, with no other skin color. They lived in seclusion and kept away from everyone else, even after the days of slavery were over.
And you think this may be that island? That they still exist and made it past Skydark and prospered?
I'm not saying that this is that island, but maybe it's one just like it.
Mildred opened her eyes. Slowly, she emerged from the fog of unconsciousness, driven out of it by the throbbing pain at the back of her skull. There was little noise around her, apart from the rustling of fabric and the soft footfalls of someone moving quietly. She could tell she was apart from her companions. There was no breathing, speech, or movement apart from the single person in the room with her. She was sure that she was in a building or shelter of some kind, as it was warm and dry, with no discernible breeze. She took personal inventory. She was aching all over, that much was for sure. Muscles felt torn in her stomach and in her left leg and arm. Then there was that lump on her head that was causing so much pain. Lying on it, she could feel it was about the size of an egg. No concussion, as far as she could tell, though, as she was thinking clearly, wasn't delirious, and despite the waves of nausea, she wasn't actually vomiting. An ominous ache in her ribs on the right side increased in intensity when she took breath. Muscles torn or bones cracked? She couldn't be sure.
Damn.
One thing that she could be sure of was that she was lying on a bed of some kind. It had a hard base, but there was softness on top, as though the board were covered with blankets. And she could also feel the weight of blankets on top of her, itching her skin. Where were her clothes? It suddenly occurred to her that she had to have been undressed and her clothes removed somewhere. She should be wet, though, but instead she was dry.
What the hell is going on?
The room was delicately perfumed with herbs, and there was the scent of burning sandalwood. So, she was lying naked in a bed, separated from her companions, and in the company of someone unknown.
Damn it.
She would have to open her eyes, and Mildred was reluctant to do that, not because of where she may be or who she may be with. It was because she knew that the light would hurt like hell. But she knew it had to be faced, so she opened her eyes. Slowly. Yeah, it hurt all right. The light was like an incredible volley of tiny needles that pierced the membrane, making her wince, despite the fact that it was fairly dim. Probably a lamp of some kind and located elsewhere in the room. All she could see was a whitewashed ceiling decorated with paintings of huntsmen and dancing women. There was something about it that she knew should mean something to her, yet she couldn't quite grasp it. The women were dancing a little too vigorously at present, and she closed her eyes again. No good. Even the lights that danced behind her closed eyelids spun in a way that made her want to... Opening her eyes wide, regardless of the pain and dizziness, and moving swiftly despite the pain from her protesting stomach and ribs, Mildred turned onto her side and leaned over the bed. Rush matting lay at the side, on a packed earth floor that was remarkably flat and dry, though not for much longer. She broke a sweat with the effort and reached down into her guts and willed herself to vomit again. If she expelled it all in one spasm, then she may be able to settle and regain her equilibrium.
Success.
She spat the sour taste from her mouth and returned to her position on her back, breathing heavily. She closed her eyes again to stop the room spinning and was surprised, but too weakened to protest, when she felt her head gently lifted and a wooden cup pressed to her lips. The water in the cup felt cool and sweet as she sipped it. Her throat cried for more, and she reflexively tried to gulp, realizing how dehydrated she had become. But the cup was taken away. Mildred opened her eyes once more, holding her breath as the room spun, then settled enough to see who had given her the water. The woman leaning over her was, she figured, about the same age as herself, with lines at the corners of her large hazel-brown eyes that creased the skin deeply. Her skin was darker than Mildred's, almost mahogany in the dim light of the lamp. Her full mouth was also lined at the corners, the lines being up rather than down, laughter rather than frown lines. Her nose was pierced with a single diamond stud on the right side. Despite the darkness of her skin, she was finer boned than Mildred would have expected, with high cheekbones. She reminded Mildred of the Abyssinian women she had met when just a child, exiled from Ethiopia in the early 1970s when the dictator Haile Selassie had died, leaving the country in the grip of a military junta and a continuing famine. Certainly she didn't resemble the Central and Western Africans from whom the majority of African Americans Mildred had ever known were descended.
You will feel better for that. Nature is like this. That which does not belong within must eventually find a route to without.
Is that how you'd put it? I don't think I would, frankly. How I'd put it is, where am I? Who are you? Where are the rest of my people? And not necessarily in that order.
Your spirit is stronger than your flesh. If I were you, I think I would be more inclined to thank my benefactor and then rest before asking any more questions.
Mildred raised herself up on an elbow, ignoring the sharp pains in her ribs and the insistent throb at the back of her skull.
Lady, I am not you. And I've been in too many situations where the only reason I've been kept alive is for the benefit of those who are doing it, that I'm not inclined to give anyone the benefit of the doubt.
As she spoke, Mildred scanned the room. It seemed to be the living quarters of the woman who sat on the bed. It was sparsely furnished, but what was there was of good quality. The furniture was well made, the hangings on the wall of silk and the finest dyed cottons, and on a table stood sculptures and ornaments, mostly of animals, made of what appeared to be gold and silver. This was no poor woman's abode, but rather the home of someone with taste and jack to spare. It also seemed that she lived alone, as there were no signs of sharing with anyone else, and there was no one else actually in the room, no set guard of any kind. As her benefactor appeared unarmed, she was either taking a risk and had somehow rescued Mildred alone, or she was of such stature in her vill that she could dictate her own terms. The presence of the precious metals made this the likely bet. The finely boned woman watched Mildred with an amused expression on her face. Mildred was so preoccupied that it took her a moment to realize it. Mildred still felt a little shaky, and this woman seemed unthreatening. The woman's full lips broke into a smile that showed strong teeth, stained by herbs and betel nuts.
You are suspicious, and perhaps a little scared. This is no bad thing, and perhaps in your position I would feel the same. But truly, you have nothing to fear. You are among your own people now, and need no longer talk of those who would wish to keep you alive for their own benefit. They have been dealt with.